Today on a very special Avs Hockey Podcast, oh, Jay learns how to love and James learns how to shave.
Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Bean. In this show, my man James Tape Leg Graylian and I break down the Avalanche's season so far. We talk about how the injuries have hurt the Avalanche so far this season. Yeah, you see what I did there. We talk about our MVPs, the biggest surprises, and what's up between the pipes for the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club. Those topics and much, much more Avalanche and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 92 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. And I'm joined finally again by my man, James Tape Leg Graylian. James, happy what? New Year.
What? Where? What? Why? What? Huh?
What's Hi. Happening? Is it, this is, I already tweeted this is like riding a bike, so don't let me down here.
I don't, what's a bike? So oh, confused. Man,
we're in trouble. We're gonna have to turn the podcast around already.
Hi, Jay.
How's it going, my doing? Man? Man, it and for those of you out in the internet land, it might sound like he and I are still sitting across the table from each other, and he's gonna touch my iPad. But he's gonna need a long arm on this one.
No, I'm two time zones away in sunny Florida, 78 degrees right now as we record this.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, 1 to 3 inches of snow here today. There's probably got about 8 inches on the snow, on the ground already. It's why would I be jealous of that at all, James?
No, make sure to send me a picture of your lawn furniture as you all covered with snow.
reminds me of the earthquake ones where it says, you know, there's the small earthquake and somebody will take the lawn furniture and knock one chair over and say, you know, our thoughts are with you. Same type thing with the snow pictures and the lawn furniture.
Just one chair is knocked over. It's like my glass of water was disturbed.
My thoughts and prayers are with wherever the earthquake was. Yeah, that's a mainstream media thing right there with the lawn furniture and the snow on it.
Oh man,
I'll be sure to get that to you.
The only thing that people hate more than lawn furniture pictures is, like, I don't know, the Winnipeg Jets. They just everybody just if you want to get bile up, if you want to get people mad, that's what you do. You send a picture of your lawn furniture covered with snow.
That's a close race right there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are back in your ear holes, ladies and gentlemen. And I know it's been a little while. We've been transitioning a little bit. Things have been busy on my end. James has been traveling around, but we're finally getting this together. We're going to give it a roll and kind of see how it goes. This is episode number 92 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. James, 92 is in Avalanche history? I don't know.
Oh, there was that one guy.
with the face and the hair?
Yeah, guy. He definitely had the hair.
I think he definitely has the hair.
I think he was Danish or something. I don't know.
One of my jokes is you can tell how the Avalanche played by how Landeskog's hair looks after the game. If it's looking pretty good, the Avs are all right, but I'll always remember the absolute atrocity that was on top of his head at the end of that Game 7 loss last year. Gabriel Landeskog, the captain edition of the Avs Hockey Podcast, you're home for almost everything Avalanche, the youngest captain in NHL history. At least he was named the youngest captain in NHL history. Been struggling as of late. I don't know. He spends a lot of time on the ice lately. He falls over a lot. I think he has either 0 or 1 goal in the last 14 games. He's struggling, but I think he'll be all right. And Patrick Waugh's got his back, and Landeskog has McKinnon's back. So I got to be good with that.
There was some game recently where he had a wide open net and just hit the post, and the frustration in his body language, which obviously was, you know, then translated directly to Twitter. With the fans.
No, but that happens. Wait, that doesn't happen. What are you talking about?
But he completely just a wide open net and hits the post. And that's just the way it goes sometimes. You know, I am stunned at times when I'm watching games. I was watching the Florida Panthers last night. Florida Panthers.
Wait, there's people that watch the Florida Panthers?
It was not only, well, they were playing in Buffalo, but there were still some empty seats.
A couple, yeah.
There were a couple of shots that were just from point blank range and still missed the net. And I'm just thinking to myself, how can you miss the net? And then I remember, oh yeah, this is hockey. It's not easy.
I've done that myself. How can I yell at someone?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now
that's kind of
last summer, in our rec league playoffs, we were in the shootout and I missed the net on the shootout, not by much, just a little bit, but you know, and I was talking to, my girlfriend. I said, I can't believe I missed it. And she said, you know, the pros miss the net all the time. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess she feel a little
you're better. A pro. She called you a pro.
No, I think she was careful not to call me a pro. But you know, that's
yeah.
And we could just say, you know, okay, well, that's the season the Avs have been having, but it isn't quite the season that they've been having. And you know, we're going to talk about that.
It's close. They've this isn't the Avalanche team that everybody expected. And we're going to chat about that and a few other things as well. Just want to bring up a few changes in the format of the show. We're going to try and just based on a lot of things, but I think it's good to try some new things every once in a while. Keeps things fresh for us and you. We're kind of going to get a little bit away from the game by game breakdown and just kind of, you know, talk about some of the bigger things going on. We'll see how that goes. And like I said, we're kind of in a transition, not only with our locations, but with the show a little bit. So we're going to try that out too. So the Avalanche's record so far is 15-15-8, and they're actually last in the Central Division by 1 point behind Dallas. James, do you have any, besides Landeskog hitting the post, which I think is a pretty good indicator of how the season has gone so well. And what are your thoughts on the season so far?
Well, it's not as bad as Edmonton.
That's every team in the league. They can say that. All right.
or Arizona. But still, you know, I'm looking at the goals differential for this season. They're minus 15 right now in goal differential. And that is just mind boggling that this team with this much firepower just isn't getting any motion from the top two lines. Last season, they were plus 30 in goal differential. This season so far, wow. Minus 15. That's ugly.
And yeah, some and of it's that not has necessarily.
Some of that's come from like a poor performance from goaltending at times, but also there have been times when goaltending has saved the rest of the team's bacon.
And that's what's been happening lately. And I don't know whether it was, you know, me not paying as close attention last year because they were scoring a ton of goals so they could afford to give up a few more. But it seems like without Pickard, without Varley, and the way they've been lately, they should be giving up a lot more goals, and that goal differential should be, even worse than it is already. But it's I don't know what to call it. I'm kind of perplexed by the year so far. I don't know whether to say that I'm totally frustrated or totally surprised. I don't think any of us honestly were expecting the same season as last year, but I don't think we were expecting, like you have already brought up, the top two lines to struggle like they have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the tough part to watch, where the goaltending has been the one bailing them out, where last year they could give up a couple and it didn't bug you as much because they knew, you know, they knew the goals were coming. But I know the Avalanche are near the bottom. I think they're bottom 10-ish, bottom 8-ish in goals for, and that's not going to get you many places if you don't have a solid number one starter who's going to steal games fairly consistently for you.
Right now they're 21st in the league in goals for. And they are 23rd in the league in goals against. So that's not a good stat.
No, that's not a good recipe. And also I've noticed, especially with the power play, they're just lacking the confidence and lacking the kind of, all right, we're on the power play. We're gonna approach this like we're gonna score a goal. And I don't think that, you know, obviously you don't need to score every single goal, but Patrick Waugh brought it up last night against after the game against the Oilers. And said the team is lacking the confidence near the net. And you see this consistently. So it's not like they're fooling themselves. Patrick Waugh sees it, and he feels comfortable enough to bring it up to the press. which is good to hear. But as often as the team isn't using their speed, as often as Nathan MacKinnon uses his speed and then peels off when he gets in the zone or does a straight stop and looks for somebody to pass it to, the puck possession game just isn't, I don't think, where it was or really who this team can be. If they can just use their speed a little bit more, if you don't mind me being coach for a second, I think they'd be all right. Just go straight to the net, throw it at the net, and pick up the garbage. And, you know, not a whole lot of rebound goals this year, not a whole lot of those, you know, as hockey players say, dirty or garbage goals in front of the net. But if they can just kind of keep it simple, shoot it a little more often, I don't think that would hurt them.
Mm-hmm. No, so I understand. I mean, it's not. The question for me when you bring that up, you know, when you talk about confidence in front of the net, is confidence in front of the net equate to toughness in front of the net right now? You know, is confidence basically a code word for toughness? Because you don't, the guys who get those garbage goals are the guys who don't mind taking a cross check every so often or don't mind giving one back. Who get in there. And when you look at the top couple of lines for the Avs, you see a lot of skill, but do you see a lot of, for lack of a better word, and I almost want to punch myself in the nose for saying it, do you see a lot of grit up there? And Landeskog, yes, but he's a guy that I don't see sitting in front of the net. He's a guy that's going to go to the corners. He's a guy that's going to go behind the net and try and dig it out. He's going to try and find that soft spot, you know, at the bottom of the circles. And that's great, you know, but there's not a lot of guys. It seems like the strengths of these lines are that it is not right in front of the net. It's out a bit, and that's okay. But if you want them going to the net, I don't know if these are the guys, you know, maybe again, maybe Briere wouldn't mind as much, but he's
a little guy
right now and for a good reason. He's a little guy, but he's also kind of stocky. You know, he's I think that the term is fire plug, but you know, he's built like a fire hydrant, you know?
Sure. He is.
Yeah. No, he's not like Marty St. Louis where you can fit him in your pocket, but he's still, you know, he's not a big guy.
I think your best teams out there are going to be able to score goals in a lot of different ways. If they need to play more of a physical game and just throw it at the net and see what happens, then that's cool. If they can skate, I guess Anaheim's a pretty good example of that, where they have big people that can skate, but they can also play a more, you know, puck possession. We'll shoot it when we can and get the rebounds when we can. Seems like the Avalanche, like you said, are more skill based. And they're just not quite going with their strengths right now. And, you know, I think this team is still, especially without Paul Stastny, they're still trying to figure out their identity. They're still trying to figure out what kind of a team they are. They are no longer that, well, you know, we're young. Nobody expected us to be here. We're just going to be carefree and see what happens. Mm-hmm. That's not the kind of team this can be anymore. Like I said, especially without a Paul Stastny. So I think they're still trying to figure out what kind of a team they're going to be. And that transition, hopefully, it won't take a ton longer, but it's been a little difficult to watch so far, especially with last year's success.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to talk about the Paul Stastny thing right now or?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do. I mean, I know I miss him. I miss what he brought to the team. And I think that was with leadership and skill. I think he made everybody around him better. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the Avalanche should have paid him $7 million a year, but I think they're trying to figure out who they are without Paul Stastny. And you know, his numbers in St. Louis haven't been that great, and that doesn't make me happy or sad. But I think he brought a little more to the team than people realized, because as the old adage goes, you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Yeah.
So no, that's kind of where I was.
No, and I agree with that. I mean, it's the Paul Stastny was really, really good for the Avalanche in ways that was hard for people to see, and sometimes hard to see past his salary. And frankly, had he gotten re-signed for $7 million, you know, for what he's making with the Blues, there's no way that people would be happy with him. Not even remotely close. You know, the promise of a Jerome Iginla for $5.3 million versus a Paul Stastny for the same money is going to favor Jerome Iginla.
That's true.
And that's just that. And that's only because of the track record. But then again, add Danny Briere to that, who's making $4 million this season. That's $9.3 million across two players when you could have Paul Stastny for $7 million. I think I know which way I'd go.
Sure. It's easy to say that now. It's easy to
exactly.
Yeah. It would have been interesting to watch Paul Stastny continue to grow with the McKinnons of the world, with the Landeskogs, with the Duchesnes, but I just think financially it just wasn't the right move for the Avalanche. I get that. It's frustrating, the business part, the business side of the deal. That's just kind of how pro sports is, but as we like to say, it is what it is. Jerome Iginla is not Paul Stastny. He brings a very different game. He's been steady. I'm sure he provides a ton of leadership. Danny Briere as well. I mean, he was a healthy scratch early in the year, but his clutch goal in Boston and some of the other things he brings. I mean, he's one of the top goal scorers on the team, which is in a way a little disappointing. So I don't know whether a Paul Stastny hangover is a big thing, but the other thing is injuries. I mean, when you bring up, we need somebody a little bit bigger in front of the net, I think of Jamie McGinn. And Jamie McGinn right now is out for the season with back surgery. John Mitchell has missed some time. Varley's groin. Patrick Bortolo came back from back surgery and then broke his kneecap the game when he came back. Jesse Winchester has not even suited up for a regular season game because of concussion symptoms. And for those of you that haven't heard, Jesse Winchester has actually been shut down from skating. They're actually telling him to get away from the rink and just do ice stuff for a while to see if that helps his symptoms. So that's not a good situation. Ryan Wilson is out for the year. He is most likely, if not for sure, done as Colorado Avalanche. And Brad Stewart was out with a hamstring for a little while. So the injuries have been adding up. It's never an excuse. It's a reality within pro sports, but they have an impact. And a lot of guys that wouldn't be playing are playing right now. I don't know. Some of that is off of that list, James. Who's your biggest? I think Varley might be the biggest one. I mean, maybe that's a trick question. But anybody else you're especially missing as far as their style that you think might be able to help this team play a little more consistently?
I mean, I would love to see what a healthy Brad Stewart would have brought. Because being away from the team for a while he's starting from an earlier position than anybody else. It's like if he hadn't miss so much time, where would the defense be right now in terms of gelling, in terms of making things work? Obviously Varlamov with what Berra has brought or not brought to the team. And that's something I kind of wanted to address because in the past when last season when he played two games and people were all over him for it. And I said, hey, it's not fair because, he's just coming off the bench. He's barely had any time. Playing two games just sporadically through the rest of the season from the trade deadline is not enough to be able to say this guy is good or bad. But now he's had the time. And now it's fair to say, it's not going well right now.
That's where his signing became a little more confusing and I guess disappointing, where they signed him to his deal before he had even played a game with the Avalanche, showing that they've done this a couple other times too. And they want to show confidence in the guys that have got him to where they are, but some of the signings have been a little goofy and Berra is probably the biggest one that's been called out. He's not going to play. That's the thing. The Avalanche have Patrick Waugh has made it very, very clear, and they've even talked about bringing Calvin Pickard back to play when Varley needs a break rather than play Reto Berra. And that's a really interesting situation for a goaltender where he has basically said, like, Varley is going to play the next 10 or 11 games, and he even said it to the press, I guess this got out, was Calvin Pickard will come back up in 10 or 11 games on one of their back-to-backs that's coming up. And that's kind of a weird, they also had three goaltenders on their roster. for a little bit. They had three healthy goaltenders on their roster. You don't see that in the NHL very often. You see it in St. Louis right now. But man, it's what an interesting situation. I don't root against Reto Berra, but he's had a really tough go.
Yeah.
But he was also put in when the defense was shaky at best. And now they're playing a little bit better and the offensive production is a little bit down. But what a weird situation in net for the Colorado Avalanche right now.
Well, and you mentioned the St. Louis Blues, and now that they have a three-headed monster in net. But at the same time, the Blues have, according to reports that I saw, the Blues have only promised Brodeur this last start against Anaheim, that after that, they make no promises to him. And they're going back. Right. It sounds like they're going back to a two-man system with Brodeur as like, you know, if one of them really falters. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Brodeur traded, even, you know, or at least those rumors, I'm sure, are going to start. But I, you know, it's an ugly situation. But you know, Pickard has been waiting in the wings. He's been sitting there, and he's a pretty inexpensive option when he gets called up. So traveling three goaltenders may not be the worst thing that they've ever done. I just wanted to mention that I found a website called mangameslost.com, and I can't speak to its accuracy. I mean, I don't know, it's credible, you know, fancy. How credible a source it is, other than, you know, I see that some other people who I like and who are you know, real media people are actually have referenced it. But according to mangameslost.com, the Avalanche have lost 194 man games, which is third most in the league.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, no team is ever going to use that as an excuse, but it is a reality. Mm-hmm. And when you have guys playing that normally wouldn't play, that says something. The thing is, though, is that the guys that should be producing have been the ones that are healthy this year. The Duchesnes, the Landeskogs, the O'Reillys, the McKinnons, the guys that should be consistently producing night in, night out, aren't the guys that are doing that lately, especially through the whole year. So this kind of leads into our next couple points, was with guys like Alex Tanguay, Jerome Iginla, Daniel Briere, Tyson Barrie, although Barrie, we would expect, I mean, Tyson Barrie is who he is. Eric Johnson has had a fabulous year so far. He's looked phenomenal out there. He attacks the net. Eric Johnson was the best Avalanche forward in overtime last night. he gains the zone. He's got a lot of size that the other guys don't, though. And I don't know, but it's just one of those things where if you would have told me that Alex Tanguay would be the leading scorer so far through this season, I would have taken it, but I probably wouldn't have been that happy with it. I mean, it's great. I mean, this dude, he can still play the game after all these years, and he doesn't seem to lose a step. Peter McNabb brought it up last night. He said Alex Tanguay doesn't play at a breakneck speed. He plays at his own speed, and that actually slows the game down for he and the people around him. And with his vision and his instincts, he takes care of the rest. I mean, the guy can play the game. But the guys like Jerome Iginla and Alex Tanguay and Daniel Briere shouldn't be near the top of that scoring list, and they are so far this season.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's I mean, it's definitely the honeymoon is over, far as, you know, Landeskog, McKinnon, Duchesne, all the youth on the team that everybody was praising. Okay. Youth is great, but, now it's, you know, it's time to produce. It's time to get past potential. Potential is great when you're in high school. It's not great when you're getting paid millions of dollars and everyone is expecting you to step up and do the job. And
if you would have told me 38 games into the season that Daniel Briere would have more goals than Nathan McKinnon, I probably wouldn't have believed you if you'd have told me that before the season started.
How about Eric Johnson having more? I mean, that's insane.
Eric Johnson is second on the team. Eric Johnson has as many goals as Matt Duchesne. I mean, you go down the list. Alex Tanguay, Johnson, Duchesne, Iginla, Briere, O'Reilly, Landeskog, and then McKinnon. And that's also including Briere was out for seven games, and most of not all, if I remember right, were all of him being a healthy scratch. And that's good for Danny Briere. I like the way he plays the game. Everybody respects him as a veteran, and they, you know, every former team that he's been with still, you know, they still talk. It's kind of like Ian LaPerriere. It's guys that move around a little bit that are moved around for all the right reasons. But man, it's it seems like Nathan MacKinnon is the one, and I'm not blaming him for anything. He's 19 years old. He's got a lot of growth that's going to happen, and you can see it coming. But it seems like he's kind of the kicker in the whole deal. And once he really gets it going with how he can create offensively and also distribute offensively, because he has skills in both areas, I think this team will really, really get going, and I'm looking forward to that.
So. Yeah, no, I agree. It's I don't know. It's just it's weird and it's frustrating. But at the same time, I mean, like look at MacKinnon's shots. I mean, he has 114 shots on goal. Landis Cog has 117 shots on goal.
Yep.
That's
look at those percentages though. I mean, Landis Cog's at 6%. Nathan MacKinnon's at 5.3%.
Yeah.
And then you go to the top of that list, and Alex Tanguay, who's first choice, and Patrick Waugh, I don't think Alex Tanguay would tell you any differently. Patrick Waugh has said it. He said Alex Tanguay would rather pass the puck. And that's where that Tanguay-Ginla chemistry is so fun to watch, because you got two awesome veterans that have played the game forever that have to rely more on their skill than they can with their speed anymore. And they are just as, if not more, effective. Alex Tanguay has a 25.5% shooting percentage, and that's pretty awesome for a guy that doesn't like to shoot. He's got, you know, less than half of the shots that both Landeskog and MacKinnon has, but his productivity with that is about 5 or 6 times of what they're doing so far. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. No, agreed. So it's insane that Alex Tanguay, whom, again, the fans hated for so long. The fans hated him. He was overrated. He did everything. You know, he wasn't any good because he played with such great players, and they're the ones who made him good. And
now you get to see it. And congratulations to him. He played his 500th game as an Avalanche the other night. And there's only 9 players. There's only 9 players that have done that in Avalanche history. So it's pretty awesome to see him, and kind of, I guess, I'm sure it's a little redemption for him to come back. I don't know if he heard those rumors. I don't know if they pay attention to that stuff. But, man, the guy can play some hockey, and he makes the people around him better. And maybe that's who the Avalanche are expecting to pick up the Stastny slack. And he's been healthy, too. Tanguay's been healthy, and that's always good to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, except for his jaw, of course, you know. But
yes, and that's all right. He looks like Darth Vader out there. One person on Twitter said last night that everybody should wear full face guards until further notice. I kind of like that. And if you don't like it, play better, and we'll take the face guard off. But speaking of MVPs of the season so far, that's one of the things we wanted to cover. And James, who do you have so far? I mean, the stats tell a story, but is there who sticks out in your mind so far this season as the most valuable player for the Colorado Avalanche Hockey Club?
I mean, I there's a part of me that wants to say Calvin Pickard, because because it's just so true in a way. If there was a guy that the only guy really that I think has inspired hope in the team has been Pickard. You could argue for Tanguay, you could argue for Eric Johnson in that respect, but
absolutely
Pickard was the one who so far has really captured the imagination of the fans, and that shouldn't be the case when you have these kinds of forwards. It should be a really creative team, and it's been the guy behind the pipes or between the pipes that has actually made it more interesting, and not the guy that you see all the time. So I'm going to have to go with Pickard on that.
I think without Pickard, the Avalanche aren't where they are in the standings. He's been a really nice surprise. He's good for him. He got his chance. Finally, his name had come up a lot. They brought up Ada Kallio a couple times last season and early this season. Yeah. Am I saying, I don't know if that's right or not, but anyway, he was supposed to be the guy, and he came up and he raised the level of his game. And it gives the Avalanche fans something to look forward to.
Yeah. I'm really sorry that I had to laugh when you said, you know, that if it weren't for Pickard, the Avs wouldn't be where they are in the stats, you know, in the standings, because they're last in the division.
Yeah, but I think it would be even worse. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're the NHL definition of playing 500 hockey, which is not 500 hockey. If you know, it's 500 when it comes to points, but it's not, you know, wins, losses. If you just look at wins, losses, they're 15 and 23. I mean, that's not 500 hockey, yeah. But in NHL parlance, it is. So
no, it is. And no, but I think it would be, I think Avalanche fans, and including myself, I don't want to speak for you, although I don't mind. I don't think I think Avalanche fans would be even more frustrated if Calvin Pickard didn't come up and do what he did. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to watch this whole thing play out throughout the season, knowing that Reto Berra is kind of there for emergency situations. And I think he's got another year left on his deal. It's going to be interesting the next couple of years. And a lot of people are kind of up in arms with Calvin Pickard being sent back down. But especially with goaltenders, especially in the NHL, they need to play. And a guy like Pickard needs to keep playing. Him sitting, and, you know, Varlamov is your starter. He's paid like the starter. There is no goaltender controversy when a guy is making that much money. If he's healthy, he basically needs to play so the team can legitimize him making that much money. And again, this is, it's business. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch this unfold as the season goes and see what happens with Reto Berra and what happens with Calvin Pickard. But a lot of people didn't understand why Pickard got sent down. They were assuming he did something wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. But I believe I can't remember who posted the numbers, but I believe Reto Berra is the ninth highest paid backup in the league. And that's also a factor that you can't really send him down to Lake Erie. I don't think anybody would claim him if you did, but you can't send him down making that much money and assume that you're getting your return on your investment in that guy either. So it's kind of a mess, but it helps you look forward to the future and what might be happening once Berra's contract is up and Varlamov's contract is up, and see what can happen with Calvin Pickard. But I like your call as the MVP of the season so far. I think when it comes to the big picture, he did a lot when he was up. So,
well, one thing to say about Pickard or about Berra is that he's actually signed for another 2 years after this. But while he might be the ninth highest paid backup, I mean, that's ninth out of 30. And, you know, that could be, you know, I mean, where that stands, I think, is kind of nebulous. He's making $1.45 million. And if you send him down, you're paying him that at the minor league level. And that usually makes people kind of question. They get a little, they worry about it and the like. So it's not that he's super expensive. What it is, though, also is that the Avs have $3.07 million in cap space, and that's not a lot. They're getting some relief from Ryan Wilson being on the long-term injured reserve. He's making $2.25 million against the cap. You know,
Jamie McGinn as well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's those things help, but you know, at the same time, so carrying another guy is going to hurt your cap space. Then the big question just becomes, you know, so what's the point? Looking at where the Avs are now versus where they're going to be at the end of the season, what difference would it make? Would it make enough of a difference? You know, in other words, I guess the big question is, you know, can the Avs shoehorn themselves out of their current position into a wild card spot?
Well, they're running out of time already.
Yeah,
it's already, you can hear the media, you can hear the guys on television saying it's time to make the move. Maybe this is their move. I believe they're 6-2-2 in their last 10 games, which isn't bad, but it's one of those things where people say, well, it's only the beginning of the season. They're a slow starting team. We're almost halfway through now. Mm-hmm. And I liken it, and I keep talking about how it's kind of like a golf tournament where you can't necessarily win the tournament early in the tournament on, say, a Thursday or Friday, but you can definitely lose it.
Yeah.
And I think no matter how well the Avalanche play, they're really going to have to pick things up. And I don't know if they have it in them this year, but hopefully they're learning a lot. They're developing that identity. This team isn't going to change a whole lot between this year and next year, unless they make a move or two, which we'll see if that's something that they're willing to do. But yeah, this is the team you're going to get unless they make some trades. There's very little restricted or unrestricted free agency moves coming up in the next couple of years for this team. So what you see is what you get, and hopefully they can continue to develop who they are and what they're trying to do, and develop that new identity that they seemingly need to have after Paul Stastny.
Yeah. I kind of leapfrogged over your MVP of the season so far.
No big deal. No, I've kind of talked about him enough as far as I like your Pickard. Your Pickard pick. That was a really picktastic pick for the Pickard. Just because you're in Florida doesn't. Yeah, I know.
No, the pain. The pain is palpable. I can feel it through. The
I know. Air. I'm here to make you groan. I still enjoy that. Let's see. I gotta go with Alex Tanguy just because I just enjoy watching that guy play the game. He is at least once a game you will see a pass that's in his feet. That if it was passed to me in that fashion, I would fall over trying to get it to my stick. He has no issues with that at all. And just the way he plays the game, he and Eric Johnson. I mean, Eric Johnson already has, I think he's tied his career high in goals so far, only 38 games in the season. I just have to hope that this team stays where they are health-wise. I want to say that, well, they've been pretty healthy. They, with that long list that we have been talking about, they haven't, but if guys like Tanguy and Eric Johnson can stay healthy, those are the guys that you need in your lineup. So I got to go with either one of those two. Good for them for having the season.
When you mentioned that about Alex Tanguy, that's one of the things that we praised Stastny for, was he can just handle any pass that's in his zone. If anything that comes to him, and boom, he's got it. He's handling it. And that kind of thing where you can make something happen very quickly with the puck, no matter where it comes, is a huge, huge thing in the NHL. It was one of the reasons that I was not big on Holden, and he got better at it, was just how much time he needed with the puck before he could do something with it. And Tanguy needs almost no time. It comes to him, and boom, he's ready to do something with it.
We've chatted about this on the show before, and your best players in the NHL, your best hockey players, are just going to say, "Well, you just give me the puck as quickly as you can." Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be on my tape. I will make it work. Yeah. And Alex Tanguy does a great job of that. And I think it makes a big difference in the Avalanche's transition game. I think he does a really good job of not slowing things down when that pass may not be exactly where it needs to be. Excuse me. And then the other night, as far as I was at the Blackhawks game, watching the Blackhawks transition game, where their offense basically begins in their own zone, where that's where the Avalanche have a ton of problems trying to get the puck out. The other night in St. Louis, Nathan MacKinnon trying to, you know, kickstart Matt Duchene right in the middle of the ice in his own zone. There's three Blues guys there, and within about 2 or 3 seconds, Tarasenko buries it, and the Avs go down. I think it was 3-1 at that point. Or 3-0. Yeah, it was 3-0 at that point. It's the Avalanche have some trouble on the back end, and guys like Tanguy can help out when those outlet passes aren't where they need to be. And when you watch the Ray Borks and the Rob Blakes of the world, you almost take them for granted when you see some of the struggles the Avalanche have had in their own zone trying to get that transition started. Because that's one thing I did notice about the Blackhawks. Their transition game is quick and it's efficient, and their offense basically starts in their own zone a lot more than the Avalanche's does.
That is one of the things that I don't think that Jerome McGinley has been as good at this season. And I don't know if it's him or players around him, but it used to be that you could fire a puck at Jerome McGinley waist high, and he's going to basically glove it down to his stick. You know, you could put anything in his bubble and he's going to do something with it. He's going to get it. And I don't think that's been the case as much this season from what I've watched with him. I don't know if that's, his play. I don't know if that's other people's play, but it just seems that he's not quite on top of handling passes as he used to be.
It's I think he's still trying to figure out. I think the team's trying to figure out exactly what his role is. I mean, I've seen him in Calgary for so many years. He used to just destroy the Avalanche with his one-timers on the power play. Mm-hmm. And that's just not something. He's had a couple one-timers this season. You're like, yes, that's the Jerome again. I love seeing that beat the Avalanche so many times through the years. But I think they're still trying to figure out exactly what his role is on the team besides a great leader who I'm sure provides a ton of knowledge for the younger guys. And that's where this transition, this hashtag Avs New Age is taking shape. And it's a little bit frustrating, but hopefully there's signs of good things to come. And, you know, he's been okay, but I definitely agree with what you're saying. He hasn't been the Alex Tanguy start the break. I'm going to bring the puck in. That should be McKinnon's job. That should be Duchesne's job. And it just seems like, and Brian Engblom was bringing it up, especially with Duchesne. He says he just tries to beat people with his skill way too often. Whereas if you just keep it simple, create some space between you and the D-man and go straight to the net and let your teammates pick up the stuff if you don't finish, I just think that would be a better recipe for success than some of the things that are going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're not quite getting to the point where, you know, where Matt Duchesne has regressed to the complaint that we used to have about the playing like right. He was in juniors. But when right. things aren't going your way, when you're not scoring, when you're not getting goals, when you're not winning games, the tendency can be, I need to do more. I need to do more. And you start trying to split the defense. You start trying to just go in alone and, you know, and kind of in a way turn your back on your teammates. And that's not helpful.
You know, this is a process. I think Jerome Iginla and Alex Tanguy have been through it, but guys like McKinnon, guys like say Ryan O'Reilly, guys mm-hmm. like Gabriel Landeskog, they've never struggled like this in their careers. Every level they've played, they've been successful, and what they do just simply works. And I think that's the transition that we're hopefully going to see, hopefully sooner than later, with the Duchesnes, the McKinnons, the O'Reillys, the Landeskogs. And I'm sure it's difficult for us to watch. You can see how frustrated they are. Did you happen to see Matt Duchesne's quote unquote stick check on Patrick Kane the other night during Kane's empty netter?
Yeah,
there was that too. I was like, what's Kane's issue? Like, what just happened here? I'm sure there's some Olympic animosity there too. Because they're on rival countries. But yeah, that was an interesting, I guess, attempt at trying to get the puck from Kane on that empty netter. But that was another kind of snapshot in my head so far of exactly how the season has gone.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't expect that kind of thing. I mean, it was a cup check basically. And
I mean, it totally was.
I didn't expect that kind of thing from Matt Duchesne. Now, if it was Landeskog, I could see it. You know, he gets kind of dirty sometimes, but, you know, I had that happen to me a couple of times in rec hockey, and I was not too happy about it either.
When you're in town, we're going to go to Stick and Puck, and I'm going to stick check you Matt Duchesne style, and nice. We'll see what happens from there.
Nice. Thank you. I look forward to it.
Me too. Let's do one more talking point. We'll just kind of transition to that. What's your biggest surprise so far this season? I had that worded as disappointment originally, but I changed it to surprise. Is there anything in particular, either a player or just in general, what has surprised you most about this Avalanche team so far this season?
My biggest surprise is the struggles of Nathan McKinnon. And it has to do somewhat with the fact that the cat's out of the bag, that teams will stay on him very hard because they know that they have to. But aside from that, I'm really surprised at how much he's struggling. That tap, 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 tap speed of his that you see with his stick handling, that you would see, that you see now, especially in the shootout, that just fools goaltenders.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And we saw more of that last season, in regular play. And now it seems like things just roll off his stick. It just seems like it's the classic case of gripping the stick too tight. And I'm very surprised that he has, that he's struggling as much as he is. I think my other surprise is that the Avs fans don't really are kind of not too happy with Holden lately, because I was not too happy with
your
him.
Boy. That's your
and
boy.
And all I heard was how fine he was and all those goals. And now that the goals have dried up, people don't seem to be too happy with him anymore. And
when Zach Redmond started to play a little bit better, that was a good kid. Although he's been a healthy scratch the last two games, I'm hoping he just needed a little time, just because of the amount of minutes he's put in. But you'll be excited to know that when Nick Holden was scratched for four games, I can be honest here because it's just you and me, right? Nobody else can listen to this. I'd forgotten that Nick Holden was actually on the Avalanche roster. So when he came back and Patrick Waugh put him at forward, yet again, I was like, oh yeah, Nick Holden does play for the Avalanche. I remember this.
Yeah, that's a move that just is blowing my mind. I mean, you just look at how many people have been called up for the Avs. Look at how many different players have been called up for the Avs. It feels like there is no solidity, like there's no unity of purpose with the minor leagues right now. If you are willing to put a healthy scratch defenseman at forward, and that's the best answer that you have right now, something's wrong.
I don't know whether that it's a financial thing, or I'm hoping there's a little more to it than exactly what you're saying. Our best option is actually playing a defenseman up front. He does have one goal this year, I think, but I don't know. It's very interesting. It's been an interesting start of the season so far, and that's a weird one when exactly like you said, you have a defenseman who would normally be healthy scratched or a third pairing guy or a seventh guy that is your better option up front than an actual forward from your farm team. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be someone that can fill that role. 'Cause where was he playing? Third line? You know, you wouldn't want to stick him necessarily on the fourth line because he's tall, but I wouldn't exactly call him rough and tumble fourth liner, you know,
because he's tall. Yeah.
And look at who Talbot's been playing with lately. I mean, he's basically been a second liner half the time because what else are you going to do? And that doesn't seem right. That doesn't feel like you have a great coalescing plan. Yeah, I don't know.
Especially with the health up front, and that's my biggest surprise. Good segue as far as that goes. It's like the struggles not only of MacKinnon, but basically the top two lines in general. And it's the guys, like I mentioned earlier in the show, the guys that should be playing and producing most consistently are the guys that aren't, and it just makes everything that much more difficult. The defense is playing a little bit better lately. They give the team a chance to win, but if you're not scoring that hockey puck, it makes things a lot more difficult and complicated, and that's how the season has gone so far.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, I mean, if you had, if Bortolo was back, if McGinn was back, I think that your lines would probably line up and coalesce a little bit better. But, man, I mean, you know, where's John Mitchell? You know, why isn't that happening? Why isn't he doing, why isn't he scoring more?
When he came back from his injury, he looked great. And this team looks so much better. And the last couple of games, you just haven't noticed him as much. And it's just tough. I guess it's tough to keep that going.
Yeah.
When you need it most.
Yeah. So I don't know. Those are my surprises, disappointments, however you want to say. I mean, I know I'm not being the most positive right now, but, you know, I don't see a lot that's going on that's super positive. I wish I did.
I do too. And that's kind of the way I roll on Twitter. I try not to tweet a ton of stuff that the team wouldn't say themselves. And this season has been, it's been really frustrating. Like I said earlier, I don't think I was expecting the team to do quite as well as last year because everything seemed to go right last year, but I wasn't expecting them to regress as much as they have so far this season. So hopefully they can stay as healthy as they are and they can figure some stuff out.
Yeah. I'm not trying to correct you on what you said, but, I think that in a way last season went, you know, everything didn't go right, but it went right enough. You know, the direction, sure. They turned a corner from the old way, but the honeymoon is over. You have to, and the players know this, the team knows this, you know, nobody is saying, well, you know, we were pretty good last season. What's wrong with that? Nobody's saying that. You know, yeah. there is definitely, you have to move forward and you have to keep producing. And if you don't, then something's wrong. Something's got to change or something's got to click. You pay the price that way. And I'm sure that it's in the players, you know, in the back of their minds and the like, but the honeymoon is absolutely over. That's nothing against anybody. It just plain is.
No, I agree. And I think as the season progresses, if they keep playing like they are, they'll be okay. I still don't see them making the playoffs.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. And the frustration, I may not say it on Twitter, but it's there, and it's tough to watch them not take care of the puck in their own zone. Mm-hmm. And leave Varley and Pickard out to dry as often as they have. I guess that is the goaltender's job, and some goaltenders, Varley has proven, the busier he is, the better he plays. But when they leave their goaltenders out to dry as much as they have, it's only a matter of time. The goaltender can't make every single one of those saves, and you struggle on the in the offensive zone, like the numbers you had mentioned earlier in the show. We'll see how this goes, you know, especially the next 15, 20 games. I mean, mm-hmm. we're going to know where they are, and we're going to know whether they want to or need to make a move. And sometimes, especially when you're in this position, we've talked about it a lot throughout the show. It's easy to say, well, just trade him, trade Ryan O'Reilly. But the thing is, when you're playing like the team has, and O'Reilly has the numbers that he does, who's going to want to pay him $6 million? To put up those numbers, and what are you going to get in return? You lose your leverage when the team starts to play like this, and it's tough to make those moves that are going to make this team, you know, improve this team to where they are where they want to be.
Absolutely.
Complicated. Yeah, it's complicated. So,
you know,
there you go. Go ahead.
Well, just two things. I mean, about this, one, enough with the whole youth movement thing. We're past that. It's over.
No, it's Avs New Age. It's hashtag Avs New Age, dude.
Well, let me tell you something about the hashtag Avs New Age. Hashtag Avs New Age can be changed right now to hashtag 3RFAs. Right now, there are only 3 restricted free agents after their terms are up on the roster. Everyone else, when their contract is up, is a UFA. Those 3 players are Rendulic, so minor leaguer, McKinnon, who's still on his entry-level contract, and Tyson Barrie. And after that, everyone else is a UFA. So this is not as young of a team as they used to be.
No, it's Avs New Age. I think it's funny whenever somebody starts with, let me tell you something about, you know, it's not going to be good the rest. Let me tell you something about Avs New Age.
Let me tell you something about Avs New Age, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not on the fence. It's not like I'm on a ledge or anything like that. Yeah. But it's I'm curious to see how this team figures out exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah.
With the future and what direction they're going to go. I appreciate the fact that last year they signed people to show that they have confidence in, and they reward them for the success the team was having. Mm-hmm. But it seems like, especially with the injuries that have come up, what's going to happen next? That's an interesting point with the restricted and the unrestricted free agents. And I think I know that Patrick Waugh and Joe Sakic are still trying to figure out what the future of this team is going to be.
Yeah. They've made good changes before. I mean, I was just in San Antonio, and I saw Greg Zanin and Shane O'Brien play. And let me tell you something. There were some good changes made by this team not that long ago. Okay. They made some positive changes. And I mean, Zanin right now is the captain of the San Antonio Rampage. I mean, it was good for the Avs.
Yeah, man. Bringing back good memories. Thanks.
Hey, Shane O'Brien played last night for the Florida Panthers. He got called up.
Oh, goody.
And he played, that was, I think, his 529th NHL game, I think is what they said.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's
good times.
It remember not that long ago, they had the whole point of the defense under the Joe Sacco era was we need size and we need toughness. And then they moved away from that towards puck moving defensemen. And now, you know, the puck moving defensemen are kind of struggling and getting tossed around, and, you know, you're trying, it's always about finding that balance.
Yeah. And I guess in the big picture, that hashtag Avs New Age, they're still trying to figure out exactly what this looks like. And I'm curious. I'm hanging in there. How about you? Are you okay? Is everything okay?
I'm okay. It's just, you know, I mean, you keep bringing up a hashtag, and a hashtag is marketing. The best marketing that we could see right now is a couple more wins. Best marketing that they could possibly have is to have the top two lines scoring. You don't need a hashtag when your top two lines are scoring. You need a hashtag when things aren't going your way and you need something to rally around, you know?
Yep. Goals tend to do that. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, how about hashtag top two lines? How about that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Chicks dig the long ball in baseball, and chicks also dig players who score the hockey puck and help it enter the net in a legal fashion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true. It's true. Try and argue with that.
I can't.
Hey James, Tape Like Graylian, do you have any shout outs for anybody?
Do I? I probably do.
I don't know. That wasn't really a loaded question. I was just, this is the point of the show where we usually do some shout outs and things like that. I was just checking to see if you had any.
The Avs
PR department.
Nobody. Yeah, exactly. I would like to, the, overlords of the hashtag, I would like to thank them.
Yes.
A couple. I mean, how about JT Nutt on Twitter, JT the Nutt. He's been rather entertaining lately, and he changed his avatar to Patrick Waugh, and when I looked at it, you know, in that little tiny window, it looked like Nicolas Cage for a moment there. Shout out to Ryan Boulding for fixing his collar and his collar stays, because his NHL tie wasn't great, wasn't awful.
Congratulations, by the way. Congratulations to him and his new role at the Avalanche. That's pretty cool.
No kidding. And hopefully he'll learn how to, you know, I don't know, dress himself or something. I mean, that tie, you know, needs some help.
Little things. Yeah.
Shout out to your buddy Hirsch, because he factored in on one of my posts on Jerseys and Hockey Love, traveling around and seeing games. He had some interesting things to say, so I just wanted to, I threw that in there, and it was a lot of fun.
Hirsch is a great follow for those of you looking for some ideas. He's pretty consistently tweeting out ideas, and he's a good young mind, I think, in the future of the game. So Hirsch_65. Hirsch, my man, Team 58 Plus, always a great time to see him and follow him and stay connected. So those of you looking for a good hockey follow, he's your man.
And that's, shout out to you for doing the podcast.
Oh, thanks for your patience. We're just, just been super busy, and it's like riding a bike, and I'm happy we get to do this, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah.
I had a couple shout outs, Avs Twitter Psychic. Continues to grow, and I appreciate those of you that take the time to put your tweets in every day. Even the team has put in a couple guesses so far this season, so I think that's pretty awesome. And I do keep track. I make a big deal for those of you that follow both the game and the show. I help people make sure they include the hashtag, because that's how I can find the winning tweets. But I also have an easy way to be able to track how many people are using that hashtag in their picks. And we're 38 games in, and there's over 3,000 Avs Twitter Psychic tweets.
That's fun.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So I appreciate the people who take a few moments of their game days and make that kind of a tradition. And thanks for having fun with me and James and making that kind of a thing. And also Avs Chat, hashtag Avs Chat. I've had a couple of those, and it's kind of like the format that we're kind of moving towards, I guess, with the show, where it's just more of a discussion about what's going on with the Avalanche. And I appreciate those. We've had a couple of those so far, and you know, when enough things come up, I'll host another one. Just keep your eye on the Twitters on that. And had a really good turnout for those two. I think about 1,000 tweets between those two with Avs chat. And it was, I think it's just, we can all kind of gather around Avalanche hockey on social media and be better together. And that's definitely what James and I try and create. So thank you to those of you that are participating in those two things. And shout out to Tape Lake for his patience with me kind of getting myself in gear when it comes to doing the show. And we'll definitely try and make this more of a, I guess, routine. And we'll keep this going for you. And we appreciate your support and listening and everything you guys do for us and connecting with us. So,
yeah.
So right on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, James,
you ready for me?
How are you spiel wise? Are you ready for the spiel?
I'm ready for the spiel.
Do what you do, my man.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. And occasionally there's something new there. You can subscribe on iTunes. Ouch. There. You can comment on the episodes. You can see Jay's nice jerseys that he likes to get, including this nifty Ryan O'Reilly one with some nice little puck marks and stitching and repairs and the like. It's nice. It's pretty. You can follow Jay on Twitter at Avs Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Tape Leg. You can find the Facebook, the fan page, the Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook fan page. I believe that's facebook.com/Avs Hockey Podcast. You can write us at avshockeypodcast@gmail.com. You can go to curseword.net and get a curseword t-shirt because, you know, you're not a podcast if you don't have a t-shirt. And nope. You can always call us at 845-704-7465. That's 845-704-RINK. And tell us what you think. Be mad at us. We'd prefer that you didn't. Be happy with us. We'd prefer that you did. And I believe...
Either way, we like attention.
Yep. And don't forget about the Avs Twitter Psychic game. Guess who scores the hockey puck first in a legal NHL fashion? And you could earn yourself a retweet from the man, the myth, the legend, Jay Veen.
The fame and fortune that comes with a retweet.
Exactly.
And I would love to add more content to the AHP blog as far as jersey posts and stuff like that. The Avalanche have actually moved away from Migre. So they are actually handling all the jerseys in-house now. Mm. And sparing everybody the details, it's been a pretty big mess so far. just from the details that we're getting from the PR department, we're kind of us. There's a group of us that are pretty big Colorado Avalanche game worn hockey collectors, and it's a transition for them too. So hopefully they'll come up with a hashtag and improve everything, because hashtags magically improve things. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I acquire, especially some new game worn stuff from the Avalanche, you'll see it on the website. So, all right, James, anything you want to do to wrap things up?
There was something that just completely passed through my brain, and it is so. Uh-huh. I think it's a good time to wrap this.
I tend to do that. We're in mid-season form already. Go, hurry.
Yeah, good thing, because we are mid-season. Hey, listen, real quick thing here. I know that it's not always the easiest thing to do when you're listening to a podcast. You're away from your computer, you're listening on your phone or your iPod, whatever. But if you like the show, if you want to see more shows, which, you know, it's hard to have less, make sure that, do us a favor and retweet or repost or link to the podcast. The thing is that we can only do so much to get the word out about the podcast, and word of mouth is really the best way that other Avs fans can find it and enjoy it. If we constantly are tweeting about it and going on Facebook about it and social media about it and all of that thing, or, you know, sending carrier pigeons, you get annoyed, and we don't want to annoy you. But if you guys help us by retweeting these things and sharing them with your followers, you can help have other hockey fans find the podcast, enjoy it, and like it, and it helps us. And the more people that download it, the more people that can find it on iTunes, the more people that can review it, and, you know, the better that things go for everybody involved. So if you can, please retweet, link to, mention, do what you can to help us get the word out about our little show. Thanks.
that, what James just said, that right there. I think it's worked pretty well with the Avs Twitter Sidekick game, and I think there's some people that still don't quite understand what a podcast is and where my name, where our name comes from, where our brand comes from. And it actually didn't start on Twitter. We actually started creating podcasts before Twitter was a thing. This is season, what season are we in now? I know for myself, as far as doing this,
I think
at least I started this at the beginning of the 2007-08 season by myself. And we came together, I think four seasons ago, mm-hmm. to produce this together. And this is kind of what we've grounded our work in. And we saw a kind of, I guess, a hole in the market, and with a new idea and some new technology, and we're just going to keep it going as well as we can. So,
and yeah, look, if you guys, if can spread the word,
we'd appreciate it.
If somebody says to you, what is a podcast? I don't know what a podcast is. Just tell them it's like Serial. It's exactly like Serial, and they'll, you know, because that's a big podcast. Yep. And we'll,
that's it.
Yeah.
So, Scott Thurston, good seeing you the other night. We went a little bit longer than 45 minutes, so I apologize if Dog Catcher doesn't participate with you well, but we always appreciate your support. Looking forward to seeing you soon, bud. And Tape Leg, thank you. We're off and running in a new season. We'll be back in your ear holes sometime fairly soon. Right on, James. Try to keep from getting sunburned, huh?
I'm doing my best. I was sweating yesterday. I am suffering down here.
I hate that when it's all humid. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Suffering.
Yeah. James, thank you, my man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it for episode number 92 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. We'll be back in your ear hole soon. And thank you very much for your support on the show, on Twitter, and everything else. So until next time when we meet again, we'll be back in your ear holes. Like I said, take care. Let's go Avs, and we'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.
Not to get off my lawn or anything, but oh my God, technology today.